Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. I'm Sean Sharif. He is our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. And George Pickens, is this a media watchdog or a minor red flag?
Yeah, we got to, we got to come up with some like title for this, like Picky or Pickens or something like that. Oh. Just like find out, like, or is the media just nitpicking him, or is he in the right here?
I like that, Picky or Pickens.
And so George Pickens has another update from Sports Illustrated this time, where they're saying, oh, is this a red flag here from George Pickens? So we talked about it earlier this week. Minka Fitzpatrick was traded from Pittsburgh back to the Dolphins, where he'd previously been. And that was, of course, a teammate of George Pickens and with the Steelers. And George Pickens went on his Instagram and shared the news story about Minka getting traded and tagged him. And he said, super happy for you, broski. Back to beautiful places in life, LOL. Mm. And now Sports Illustrated saying, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but is this something he should be commenting on? Should he be taking shots at his former team? So I don't know. Is this something that's legitimately like, dude, just keep it to yourself? Or is like, who cares? He's talking to a buddy of his and saying, you want it out of there just like I did. Congratulations.
That one.
It's exactly, I view it the same way. Does he need to comment on everything? Probably not.
I still don't know where to find Pickens' Twitter. I still have no idea. I know this was Instagram, but I was like, I need to find his Twitter and track him throughout the season. I still can't find it.
Yeah, his name's not even tied to it. It's like when you see,
it's as difficult as finding Peyton's. underscore and the number one and all that.
There's one underscore in there. Just Peyton underscore Russell one.
He did something about, I've got to find where it is, because he posted something and it got snipped, because his Twitter account does not, you would have no idea that it's him based on the way that it's, like with these two, it's two Pezzy underscore. And so it's like the number two, P-E-Z-Z-Y-Y or something, underscore. And so he makes it, and it doesn't have his name attached to it. So that's the latest George Pickens potential drama. But ultimately, I agree. I don't think it's anything.
Nah, nothing.
I don't think it's anything.
All right. Work stoppage. Why are you trying to shut down my life with this, Bobby, as we're getting ready to head out to training camp?
Because this is what we're going to get. We're going to get a work stoppage in the coming years. So the NFLPA for years had a leader there, an executive director named Demoris Smith. He went by D. Smith. And D. Smith was a former, like, not right-hand man, but he was somebody formerly that was in Roger Goodell's circle in the league office. So when he was like selected as the NFLPA executive director, there were a lot of people who were like, okay, this is, a lot of players looked at it a little skeptical and were like, I don't know that this is a legitimate guy to be sitting across from Goodell negotiating. And now we have more evidence of that, because Demoris Smith has written a book. It's coming out in early August, and Daniel Kaplan of Awful Announcing had gotten an advanced PDF of it. It's called
Turf Wars. So who's the PA head now?
Oh, gosh, what is the guy's name? It's currently Lloyd Howell.
I thought it was still Demoris Smith.
No, Demoris Smith left in June 2023, so he's been out for a little bit now. But D. Smith in this book starts talking about some of the issues that he's had with Aaron Rodgers. During the 2020 collective bargaining agreement negotiations, which were, I'm sure you guys remember, they were tense from a lot of veterans. There were a lot of veterans trying to tell young guys, hold out, don't vote for it. We'll take care of you if you need money or whatever else, but don't vote for it. And the NFL was really leaning on those young players. Well, Demoris Smith writes, the god of Cheesehead Nation was isolated and dismissive. He sat in the back row of the meeting room, issuing loud sighs before standing for a dramatic exit. An incredible quarterback, to be sure, but an even more impressive antagonist. He said, in August 2021, my phone chirped with a text from Aaron Rodgers. Can you call me at Red? He said, could I not run into traffic instead? I understand Aaron Rodgers is a pain in the ass. This is more evidence right here that they had Fox guarding the hen house. Somebody who's like that dismissive of players and has that kind of mindset, you have to be blindly for the players as the executive director.
Man, this to me is over the line, out of pocket. I'm never hiring Demoris Smith again if I am someone in that type of position for a similar type role. I don't think someone in his position can be outing those types of talks, secrets, and behind the scenes stuff. My opinion.
Yeah.
Like you that's against the code, man. That you broke code.
It is. The one thing though, and I know the baseball is going to have a problem here because they are heading straight for a lockout. Straight for one.
Baseball is
the one that's in trouble. We've got, it's a ticking time bomb. We got maybe 2 years. Football, I can't remember who it was. He was the old Giants offensive lineman. He's in media now. It's either Jeff Schwartz or Sean O'Hara. I think it was. He said NFL players will not miss games.
Generally, they don't.
They know their career is so finite. They will not miss games. They will do whatever they have to. They will take anything that's on the table. They will not miss games. Oh, man, they will never do what we suggest, which is go on strike. December 30th, and tell the owners, this is the deal or you ain't getting your playoffs. Like, and they will never do it because they
would win, wouldn't they?
They would win. They would get guaranteed they would get everything they wanted because the owners don't want to miss
But here's the problem. This is a new era of players coming into the CBA. This is an era of players that got everything they wanted in NIL and walk into the NFL with everything they want. This is an era of players that willingly says, fine, I'll transfer from UNLV in the middle of the season if you don't give me my money. And so, I mean, like, that's the kind of, like, perspective that's coming into this now.
And it's the type of money coming in where it's like, I already got a nest egg. Right. I already got a safety net.
I've already made $9 million in college.
So you were out last week, so I don't know if you saw the story. Did you see the Pablo Torre story about the NFLPA?
The collusion?
Yeah.
I saw it. I didn't get into it.
So they basically were exposed. They had to meet three definitions to be... Like to get the judge to rule that they had been guilty of collusion.
We talked about it, but I don't remember.
Yeah, they met one of the three legal criteria, which is there was ironclad evidence that the league went into a meeting and told owners not to give guaranteed contracts to guys after the Deshaun Watson deal and told them to start lowering guarantees for veterans. And there was like text exchanges between the Bidwells and I'm trying to remember Spanos in with the Chargers. What? Where he congratulated him for not getting fully guaranteed money for Kyler Murray. And he goes, that helps us with Justin Herbert. And that's like, that's collusion.
Pablo Torre got that?
Yeah, he got all these documents exposed last week. And so that right there, now the NFLPA goes, okay, we have evidence exposed in the public that you owners are trying to take money from us and you're celebrating it. And like, you couple that, you get stuff like this.
Why didn't that story get bigger?
I don't know.
I know why it didn't over at ESPN.
It was big for like a day, but even still, it was kind of kept under wraps.
Yeah, you're right. Because in order for that story to get big, you need ESPN back. You need ESPN to back every story for it to really get big.
I mean, Florio wrote about it. Florio was talking about how big it was, but it's also, that's the thing. That's setting up for, you're going to make players walk into that going like, you guys owe us because you guys have clearly been manipulating things for years. So I think we're heading for a work stoppage unless the NFL changes some stuff up here in a few years.
All right, little inside and around the NFL here on Sean and RJ. We are your official home of the Dallas Cowboys. In case you did not know, I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy. We have an NBA Youngboy ticket giveaway coming up during the Expressway and an explosive Diamond Cavs. With RJ Choppy and the Texas Ranger article taking us inside some of the possible problems. But the Lakers go and get DeAndre Ayton. So are the LeBron trades all of a sudden off the table? The Mavericks were installed as the favorite in Vegas if this were to happen. And you got LeBron trade talk dying off now.
Well, it is dying off. Well, at least from the standpoint, like the NBA... is going to have a real... They're going to have a real problem if LeBron decides he wants to leave because, like, L.A. is obviously their cash cow. They have Luka there. They want nothing more after the TV ratings from this NBA Finals to have the Lakers in the Finals or the Lakers make a deep run. That's what the league wants. The whole collusion or conspiracy theory, if you will, that they got Luka to the Lakers just for the TV ratings, that would die off. If LeBron's not there.
Rich Paul saying four teams have contacted him in the last 24 hours wanting to talk trades. Yeah,
is that
right.
Allowed? Like, I wouldn't... I mean, if he hasn't been granted permission or anything else, can teams contact him?
How'd the Dolphins know Darren Waller, Delanie Walker was available?
That's right.
Well, if he's... if Delanie Walker's retired. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think that's a little bit different, but... I mean, you gotta remember, we also thought Jason Kidd didn't know the rules, but Jason Kidd wouldn't reference a player they knew they were going to pick number one in a month.
CBS ranked the categories for a possible LeBron deal. If he's like DeAndre Ayton, that's not enough. Luka Doncic in shape, that's not enough. My son being here as the rest of the league parted the basketball seas, that's not enough. Let's go through the categories.
Yep, they have the 29 teams ranked as possible destinations for LeBron James. You got tier 8, which is he'd never waive the no-trade clause for them. And the very last on that list, who do you think is the least likely team he would go to, according to CBS?
Wizards?
Nope.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wizards are in the tier, but that's not them.
Portland?
No, it is not Portland, but they're in the tier. The answer is Zach Rose, Utah Jazz. So the Utah Jazz are the least likely one. Tier 7 is he probably wouldn't waive the no-trade clause, which has teams in there like Minnesota, Orlando, Atlanta. Tier 6, not enough to trade even if he wanted it, which is the Bucks and the Suns, teams like that in there. Number 5, maybe if the playoffs had gone differently, which is the Pacers and the Thunder. And then Tier 4 is there's too much bad blood, which would be Boston and Miami. I don't know that Miami's... I can't see that being just like forever ruined. I know he and Pat Riley had issues.
Well, Pat Riley took his cookies off the plane.
Yeah.
Right. Did you know that?
You don't take a man's cookies.
Like LeBron had his chocolate chip soft baked cookies every flight. They were struggling, going through a rough period. All of a sudden, LeBron's like, flight attendant, bring me my cookies, please. And they're like, cookies are done. And LeBron's like, oh, okay.
Cookies are for closers.
Pat Riley took his cookies.
That's low.
He went back to Cleveland.
Cookies.
The city basically burned him in effigy, and he went back to Cleveland. So, like, I mean, I don't think that's
impossible. People are trying to say Cleveland is the smartest destination, that would make the most sense if something was going to happen.
Tier 3, he might actually consider it, which was Brooklyn, San Antonio, Denver, and the Clippers. And then Tier 2 is we really can see it. So these are the teams that if he were to go, they would choose for him. 4, the Dallas Mavericks. They talk about how there's the Kyrie connection, Anthony Davis. There's things that the Lakers like their first-round pick and Max Christie that they could get back. So there's some angles there that go with. The top 3, though, the teams ahead of the Dallas Mavericks. Number 3, the Golden State Warriors, team that we've talked about him being tied to recently. Number 2, the New York Knicks, which LeBron with the Knicks, that would...
Mike Brown, Cleveland connection.
My gosh. So, yeah, he can fire him again. And then number 1, the team you just referenced... Tier 1, he's coming home. The Cleveland Cavaliers as a way to just finish his career off, which I bet he would. If he was going to go back to Cleveland, I bet he would try to get Bronny there with him.
Well, all you got to do is just judge his hat, clothing.
This is the...
his merce.
He was at a golf tournament, and he wore a hat that said it was a dad hat. Very disappointed. It wasn't a high hat like we like to wear. One of those very soft dad hats. And it just said, welcome home on it. Now, that could mean anything. It could be a hat that they gave him when he got to the course. It could be, we continuously try to conspiracy things in today's world. Nothing is just as it seems anymore.
That man is so aware of optics, though. I wouldn't put it, even if that wasn't his intent, if he saw that, I bet he would think somebody might take it this way. I'm not wearing it. It's like the internet blew up the other day with the Ayton stuff because they're like, DeAndre Ayton just posted himself walking off of a plane and he's wearing a Dodgers hat. So, like, he's going to L.A. And so, I mean, people, they all do these little tipping.
Yeah. Is Jake Paul now legit?
He is. He may not be legit, but he is ranked. And that makes him legit. He is eligible for the cruiserweight title shot because he is a ranked boxer. He's ranked at number 14. He had a win over the weekend against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. So the social media influencer turned professional boxer can now challenge cruiserweight champ Gilberto Ramirez for the title. He is eligible for the title. I do not know what world we're living in. This is unbelievable.
Shoddy boxing world that we've always lived in.
Right. His one loss to Tommy Fury. That was his loss. Did Tommy beat him up? Pretty good.
Which Tommy's not considered some top of the line boxer.
He's not a top of the line boxer.
It wasn't a beatdown. I watched it like a loser on my TikTok or Amanda's TikTok. That was a double AC, right?
I don't remember where that was.
Maybe, yeah. And look, Tommy's like he's not a great boxer by any stretch, but you know he's a professional boxer, and you know he got beat. He got beat by Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
he got beat by him. Now that was 2 years ago. Jake's a better. Jake's 2 years more improved as a fighter. We'll see. He's gonna go for it though, man. He's gonna do it.
Is he
testing himself against who? like, how do we know he's improved?
Is he actually going to go for anything?
I think there's money, going to be money involved. So, yes, he's going to. I think he's going to go.
But there has been money involved, and he won't line up anything credible.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only problem. Now, I mean, the guy, I don't know how over the hill this most recent fight he had was. I mean, that's a former boxer.
He was over the hill.
Yeah, I mean, it's a former middleweight champion. But, I mean, without looking, I'm guessing this is a middleweight champion from, like, 2003, because that's typically what he does.
He's almost 40.
Yeah, and so
Julio
like,
Jr. is almost 40.
Like, have him standing there against somebody who's also 27 and ranked, and I think he probably gets his ass kicked. Like I'm sure he can stand in there, and it's not like he's going to get knocked out in 10 seconds, but I don't think that he could, otherwise he would have.
Yeah, I mean, cruiserweights are big, man. That's a big weight class.
RJ Choppy says that there's a brand new interview showing cracks at the globe. We'll play it for you and have you decide on the home of the Rangers next. We go commercial free with the Expressway with our NBA Youngboy ticket giveaway to hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on next.
The 1-0 is hit high and deep into center field. Mullins going back, still going back, looking up. It's gone. Just over the wall between the 407 marker and 410 marker. Home run number 11 for Corey Seager makes it 6-0 Rangers.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about a nice shutout victory and Nathan Eovaldi returning to the mound and looking good? And it's like, hey.
He's my new Max Scherzer. I'm in love with the guy.
It's great.
I love him.
Fantastic. And I hope, you know, like, selfishly, you know, one of them, DeGrom, Eovaldi, one of those two is going to make the All-Star team. And selfishly, it's like, you know what? I hope they both pitch on Sunday so they can play. Because, you know, I don't want to see it. Like, save them. Save them, right? But when you got Eovaldi and DeGrom going back-to-back in the games, I mean, you've got a legitimate chance of leaving. Now, last night obviously didn't happen because they were going to work it back in slowly. But, I mean, you could give your bullpen a couple of days off, hopefully. And that puts you into a good spot for the next three because, you know, with injuries and stuff, you need those guys to be ready to go, those bullpen guys. But all hell broke loose yesterday.
That's the good news.
That's the good news. Now let's get to the bad news. And that is Kevin Pillar. He was on Foul Territory, which is a podcast. It's a baseball podcast that I think they simulcast on MLB Network. But this
Przinski.
That's Alec Medford's buddies.
He's tight with AJ Przinski?
He's tight with the production staff on that show. He sent him stuff from our interviews before, and they've played it.
AJ's on it. Eric Kratz was a longtime catcher in the sports on it. So it's a good one. It's a good, solid baseball podcast. And they had Kevin Pillar on. Now, Kevin Pillar was here. Had a cup of coffee here.
Cup of coffee. 20 games.
20 games. But he got here, you know, in the spring. So he was out there in Surprise. So he was on there, and they were like, you know, like, tell us, man, what's gone on with the Rangers? So he started to hem haw, and they're like, dude, no, let's go.
And just to be fair for context, yes, he was only here for 20 games. He was in the bigs for 13 years, so.
Been around.
He's been around.
Been around. Played with Atlanta, played with Toronto, played in a couple of different spots.
Got punched in the face here. He was in that Toronto brawl. Oh, he was one of the guys who got clipped in the face.
So. He's not a hot take guy, right? He's actually, and I think this matters. He had moved his family here before this season. This is where they are setting up shop to retire long term.
And I was just at the Derek Holland golf tournament.
No.
Baseball's a very small fan. They all know each other. There's a ton of athletes here. He's not going to go speak out of pocket and then have to deal with these guys for the rest of his life because he's staying here.
Sure.
So I think that plays. So they're like, no, dude, why is it going so badly this year? What's the problem? I went and got three answers from him, and here is number one talking about, you know, one thing that surprised him.
I thought they would be a little bit tighter as a group. I thought it would be like, you know, kind of like my experience in Atlanta. That was probably one of the tightest groups since, you know, I was in Toronto. It's like everyone just – you know, pulled on the same rope. Everyone wanted to hang out. Everyone wanted to do everything together. Everyone, you know, winning was the most important thing every day. And, you know, when I got in the clubhouse in Texas, there's a lot of talent in there and there's just a lot of individual stuff going on. A lot of guys are doing their own thing. You might not see people till the game goes on.
Until the game? Until
guys are kind of just doing their own thing. Whether they have their own – and there's not a knock against people that have their own routines, right? Some people, you know, have routines where they do like training room and they do their own stuff in the weight room. You know, they have everything kind of timed out. You know, as you get older in the game, you earn that right to kind of like, this is how I go through my routine.
No BP.
Yeah, not a lot of BP, not a lot of, you know, stretching together. And I just felt like maybe for me just being kind of the outcast, because it's a lot of the same guys there that won the World Series. So maybe I was kind of on the outside. I was kind of looking more of a way to kind of, you know, get in that inner circle. And a lot of that times that comes through, you know, stretch and BP where you're, you know, you talk about things other than baseball. You get to know guys a little bit more. And that would even start like in spring training.
Man, the no BP? There's not a lot of BP? Well, no wonder y'all can't hit. I mean, you're going out there rolling your shoulders and you're out there cold. I mean, truthfully, they're doing BP under the stadium, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're doing cage work probably on their own.
I mean, typically it's like, how are you not out there doing BP?
So I had told you guys this years ago at the beginning of Seager's tenure that Corey kind of off to the side doing his own thing. The other day, I think it was Osuna celebrating his first home run. Corey, you just saw him on the bench, like staring at the iPad. Jeff Passan had the profile of how maniacal and scientific Corey Seager is. A lot of these guys with their own coaches.
They have their own coaches. That's not unique to Seager or anybody in this team. A lot of the big-time stars have their own – not even big-time stars. A lot of the players have their own hitting coach that they have used for years that know their swing in and out.
Yeah.
You know, so that – and that's okay.
I've heard random things here and there. I don't know how up to date it is right now, to be honest, but I had heard some things I wasn't expecting about Semien back in the day because he was brought in to be a team leader. Nate Lowe, I had heard some things, and I was looking at Nate Lowe and I'm like, all right, that's a glue guy. That's a chemistry guy. I guess the part that I like to focus on is your commentary about chemistry and baseball and how important it is. And I was going to go the direct opposite end because common sense would tell me chemistry is needed the absolute least in Major League Baseball amongst all the team sports. Literally any other team sport you can name. You need it more in soccer. You need it more in basketball. You definitely need it more in football. You need it more in hockey. Baseball to me, and correct me where I'm wrong here, and Bassett, Holland, if you're listening, Sandler, whoever. This is an individual sport in a team setting.
It is.
My pitcher's by himself. Pitcher and catcher, maybe the part where the relationship is needed the most. Mm-hmm. I'm up there every day with my own four at-bats. I'm out there fielding my own position. Yeah, for a double play, I need some chemistry there. But why do I need great chemistry in baseball when it's one-on-one?
Yeah, it's not like the on-court, on-field, on-ice chemistry. It's probably less, you know, like the obviously in baseball because you don't have to work necessarily together. But you are in baseball with these guys more than any other sport. I mean, they're with these guys from noon to midnight every day. The longest road trips, it's more of a comfort thing. You know, like it's, and you could tell like, man, like, so when I was at Derek's tournament on Monday, a lot of the guys were from that 2010 team that were there or that were, that, dude, these guys like acted like they never missed it. They haven't missed a beat.
Yeah.
You know, like they, it's like the friend you have that you don't talk to, but you grew up with and you pick up right where you left off with that conversation. And if it's not there, again, it's not a big deal. But I think it just is surprising. It's like there's no togetherness. There's no friendship, it seems. Or that's kind of what he's hinting at. That just seems odd. Like, you know, no BP?
I think it matters least of the three major sports. The chemistry probably matters the least in terms of play-to-play success. Like what you're talking about. Like, because you're in the outfield, you're over here, you got your spot that you're operating with. Besides, like you said, the battery. But it might matter the most from just like a morale standpoint, because like Chop says, they're around each other all the time. they're basically living together for 162 days together. Kinsler and Beltre getting sideways in 2013, whatever year that was. Like, Kinsler gave that interview where he's like, that's where the moment where we were screwed. And we knew, like, our team, no matter how many of the talented guys were still around, people got bitter with Josh at the end, we heard about. And that started ruining chemistry. Nelly Cruz choosing to take that 50-game suspension and then showing up right for the Orioles playing game. A lot of guys, like, felt bitter about it. And so...
Are the Mets going to fall apart?
Right? Yeah, and I think... And also, like, you know, if you enjoy the people that you're there with, maybe you get to the ballpark earlier. And if you're at the ballpark earlier, maybe you're getting your workout in. Maybe you're getting your extra BP in. If you don't really love the guys you're playing with, maybe you stay at home to 2 o'clock in the afternoon instead of getting there at noon. I mean, I don't know if that matters.
In a better mood during the game.
Right. Maybe that matters. Maybe it does.
I like G-Bag. Other than, you know, the shots that they take, I like G-Bag. I like the interactions we have with them. They genuinely don't really affect what we do segment to segment here. But, like, in general as a whole, like, the fact that we get along with them and we can play, like, fun take shots and stuff like that, that makes, I think, everybody better. And it makes us, like, it makes morale better.
This is Kevin Pillar on the Foul Territory TV podcast. So one of the things we talked about is, you know, individual winning. You know, he talked about guys winning but not really enjoying it even when they were.
To me, the reason they're... I think a lot of guys just got off to a bad start individually, and the pitching was so good, and they were still winning games. I guess it was we at the time. They were still winning games. The winning didn't seem – a lot of guys weren't, like, enjoying that we were winning games. You know, a lot of people got caught up in their own failures, and just – it wasn't even like we had an aircraft. It wasn't like one guy was carrying the team. You know, they were driving all the runs. It was like – you know, we managed to get a couple guys on base. Someone would come with a big hit. You'd win 2-1, but they'd be 1-for-4. Everyone else, you know, 0-for on the day. And that just happened for, you know, pretty much the first month of the season. And then it just kind of felt like there was a lot of panic setting in. You know, there was things that happened, you know, behind closed walls. Things were getting taken away. Things were being, you know, forced upon. You know, things were becoming mandatory.
He didn't really go into what was forced upon, maybe BP, maybe they mandated, maybe that was mandated.
You have to hit to practice.
You have to warm up. You got to throw, you got to stretch. I do find it interesting because baseball, I tell my kids, baseball is the ultimate game of failure. Like, if you can't deal with failure, you can't play this sport. And football, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to go out there and have basically the same game every time. He's going to have a good game. Shohei Ohtani might go 4-for-4. He might go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. Like, you have no idea. And you're still going to win that game, and you're still going to be happy if you won that game. And he would continue with guys just not being...
This is kind of, to stick on this point, this is kind of like a Micah thing, right? You destroy the New York Giants, Micah gets shut out, and he's not happy.
Right. It's so hard, though, because I was thinking of the same thing when he was talking, because I was like, what do I want, though? Do I want the offense happy with how they were hitting? I don't. Like, nobody wanted them to be like, yeah, but at least we're winning games. Yeah, but you're not going to keep winning games if you keep hitting like that. But also at the same time, you don't want them dragging it down because you didn't play well.
Yeah.
I imagine
the nerves. I mean, they're playing okay right now, but the nerves and the tension during the deadline.
Right.
These guys are all sitting here like Adolis Garcia or different pitchers, and you're looking over your shoulder.
Absolutely.
With all these rumors.
It's got to be tough to deal with. He would continue talking about guys not being necessarily satisfied just with winning.
A lot of guys were trying to make up for a bad start. They were trying to get it all back in one day, as opposed to being like, I kept trying to remind guys, I'm like, there was a point we were like 13-6 and we had like the worst batting average in baseball. I'm like, collectively, we have hit rock bottom as an offense, but we are winning games. Like, this should motivate us. Like, we should be thankful that our pitching staff is so dominant and that we're finding ways to win games. And, like, you know, day by day, we're going to get out of this. And it's just kind of been that trend all year. It's like guys are trying to get above water. And it's a hard thing to do. I mean, I've been there too. You know, I think that's the hardest thing about baseball. Baseball, I've always said this, baseball is the ultimate team sport, but it's also the ultimate individual sport.
That's what y'all would say.
Well, back to what you were saying, let's not compliment each other too much here, Bobby.
we're about to go on holiday. We're all happy.
Yeah, it's got to be a really, really difficult thing that you win, but you're mired in a 1-for-20. You know, in basketball, you can defend or grab an offensive rebound. But in baseball, your struggles are going to be highlighted more even while you're winning.
Yeah, because
football, you can block downfield if you're not getting the deep ball. And you can play defense. I get it in baseball. But
you also might get one ground ball to you the whole game.
Yes.
Like Josh Young could be hitting 170 and go 0-for-4, but make 3 diving stops down the third baseline. But you know what? I stood to the plate. I contributed. But that the very next game, he might have the same offensive stat line, get 0 balls hit his way. It's possible. And you feel like, what did I do here? I did nothing.
So put this on the something to nothing scale.
It's something. This would help explain some of the issues if they've got chemistry issues. And I think it's easy for a lot of people to, it's important to, I think, hear that instead of just read it. I think it's important for a lot of people, if they read that, are maybe like, is he whining? Is he bitter? He was left. That sounds like a dude
who's not aggressive whatsoever.
He sounded like a dude who's genuinely upset that he didn't get to make a connection with people. Like, I was really looking forward to like getting to know these guys, and I couldn't. And it made me think of years ago when I had Rangers season tickets. We were out there at batting practice, and I remember it was must have been 2010. They were playing Hey Soul Sister over the PA.
Hey Soul Sister.
And David Murphy's like in the cage and he swings and he goes, Josh's favorite song messed me up because he like hit one and like had fallen short. And Josh goes like, like Hamilton rolls his eyes and everybody's like, oh, come on, that's your favorite one. Like, can we go talk to them? Can we have put it up again? And it's like, there's just this camaraderie there where they all know, like, apparently Josh hates that song and they all know that, like, oh, let's mess with him on this. And they're all just loose. And that's better than everybody's isolated and doing their own thing beforehand.
It's look, I mean, this is a guy, like I said,
it's like what we talk about with Schottenheimer. Like, all this culture stuff may not matter, but it's better than not getting along.
It's absolutely, you know, and one of the really good point in the fan text for the 956. You fail so much in the sport, if your teammates are not uplifting, like you're not in it all together, you can feel like you're on an island and you can spiral out of control. It's a great point.
Yeah.
And that's right, you know, and like Pilar, again, he moved here before the season, before he even signed here, he wanted to move to DFW. So it's like, again, he's going to be seeing these guys around town. Baseball's a small circle. So it's not like he's can just never see any of these players again. He's going to see them because these athletes live in like 4 different neighborhoods around town, right? There's only a handful of spots where you have they have so much money. They're going to live in the same, their kids are going to school together. I don't think he's just going to speak out of pocket and lie about this.
I don't think Pilar, the final thing I can add to this is I don't think Pilar was necessarily well received here while he was here. He wasn't a loved guy in the 20 games. I do know that. So there it is, some Diamond Cavs. RJ Choppy going through the Kevin Pilar interview, something or nothing, on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Also, the number to call to win these at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Calling number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see NBA Youngboy on Thursday, October 30th at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. That's calling number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Choppy is putting the 3-time General Manager of the Year on the hot seat in DFW. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. Let's go local for the 4th.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
To firework or not to firework? That is the question. Are you generally, before kids, I know now with kids, I'm sure you are on fireworks, but before
no,
kids,
I'm not.
You're not?
Nope.
You're out on it?
Right now, my kid, I don't know, my daughter has her ear appointment today for the ear infection. That's not a well. It's a suck. But my son will cover his ears with some noisy moments. That's not concerning me, but I'm monitoring it. And I'm like, maybe his ass needs to go. And I think last year he didn't want to run outside and look at the fire. I'd like to take them, although I also don't want to be in 98 degree weather outside amongst a bunch of people. I'd rather find a view in my backyard and look at it. So I'm not fireworks yet. Again, my daughter is not allowed to go anywhere in public if it's not daycare after what she did to us while traveling. So I want to be fireworks eventually, but not right now. And I'm still scarred from living in East Dallas when I thought I was
gunshots.
Dodging gunfire.
We'll probably do them. The Roanoke does them today. I don't know if we're going to do them tonight or not. Trophy Club will do them tomorrow. So we'll see. We'll see what we decide to do.
I want to be on a boat. I'm only gonna, it's like going to a game where I only want to sit in the first five rows. I think I want to be on the water. I want to be on the water out there for the fireworks.
Okay. I've got the play for you because I was just thinking about this. This is the perfect spot for Ollie to get the fireworks and then not have his ears blown out. Just bring him up here. Like, I bet you can see him over here.
Yeah, probably.
Like, we got a nice open view. He could see him without all the loud noises and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a bad spot. Yep. Some of the fireworks shows that are going on around DFW right now, and let us know on the Franklin Injury Attorneys fan text. Yay or nay on fireworks? In fact, Sean, you'll be very happy to know.
And I am the oldest man when it comes to getting fireworks. Like, driving by a fireworks stand, I'm like, no. I'm just thinking of Jason Pierre-Paul. I've set off like the little stupid ones. I've never set off a serious firework. I'll never let my kids set off a serious firework. I'll never go buy the fireworks. Never.
I have zero desire.
Really?
To do fire. None. I have zero desire myself.
I think if someone tuned into the fan cam today and looked at you, they would not envision that.
Yeah, I,
explosives.
The only explosive thing I like is my diarrhea.
Gross. Why?
Mark that.
Oh, my goodness.
Mark that. Why? Are you afraid of it?
No, just not, never had an interest in it. Not afraid.
Your boys just don't want to go out there and set them off and then sprint back.
Never had an interest. I've seen too many videos of, Steve-O. Sticking a bottle rocket in his butt.
That part of it, though.
No.
You can just light the fire. We don't have to put it there.
Yeah.
What about you?
Steve-O. I've never been a huge fan of them. Like, I mean, they're fine. I do want to be removed. Like
setting them off or watching?
No, I've never set them off. So that's the funny thing. It's always so unclear of who can shoot them off in their community and who can't based on, like, are you in the, are you rural enough to be able to do that? Or will you get in trouble for shooting them off? So because of that lack of clarity, I just remember, like, when we would drive around and we'd see people on the side of the road selling fireworks, I just used to look at them almost kind of like as if they were, like, selling weed on the corner or something, where it's like, I don't even know if this is legal. Are you supposed to be buying those? Or, yeah. Like, is that even legal here? Are they going to come and get shut down here on the corners? But we would never, ever shoot them off. We couldn't. I grew up in Farmers Branch. They wouldn't let you do them out there.
Yeah, I loved it as a kid because I had grandparents that had lots of land, so we were able to shoot it off there.
By the way, somebody just texted in and said, I thought you guys have been saying whoa all these years. I just realized you're saying well.
But yeah, I mean, as I grew up, it wasn't a need, a necessary. I didn't have to go shoot off the fireworks, but I love watching it, though. I'll go watch it every year at least.
940. Apartments don't usually allow for it, Bobby. Thank you for clarifying for me. 940.
Oh,
I appreciate
man, for the
that.
856. Today is the last day someone will have all 10 fingers.
That's true. Several someones. It's several of them.
Yeah.
Some of the events going on around DFW, of course, the big one, Kaboom Town, Addison, which they've started charging for that. That used to be free. It was just, you'd pay for it and being stuck in two-lane traffic and not being able to go anywhere if you were in Addison for several hours. But you've got Kaboom Town. Arlington's got stuff the next two nights. Bedford has July 4th Fest, as well as Burleson. Coppell did some last week. They're doing some again on July 4th. And then if you miss all that, if for some reason you just happen to miss it this week, no worries. If you go to Crowley, July 12th, they're doing Celebration of Freedom with a bunch of fireworks. So you can wait a little bit.
Clouds today and tomorrow. So keep that in mind. With about 30% chance of rain.
Worst fireworks show I ever went to was I was in college. It was in Knoxville. It was overcast. It was Labor Day. It was overcast. So the firework smoke didn't have anywhere to go. So it just kind of stayed below the clouds. Very low cloud cover.
Was this your Labor Day wedding?
No, this was not. Very low cloud cover. So as the wind starts blowing the smoke towards us, it felt like we were like in a volcanic ash plume. Awful.
That's not good. Here we are doing Neighborhood Watch here on 105.3 The Fan. Some sad news. I saw this on Instagram yesterday. It was actually, I'd seen it shared by one Ryan Cotrere, our former video operator. WFAA meteorologist.
Is he failing yet, hopefully?
No.
In that job to come back here with Aiden. No offense, Aiden. Aiden's doing a nice job.
Yeah, we need we need double the work. Yeah. That's what we need. He's having success. I'd heard about something around Dallas a couple weeks back, and I was like, hey, if you're looking to get back to Dallas, he's like, I'm happy. Thanks, though. And I was like, screw you, Ryan. Stay out there with the cartel then. No, this was an announcement yesterday from WFAA meteorologist Marielle Ruiz. She announced that she has breast cancer, triple negative breast cancer, which is a very aggressive form of it. Apparently, she just turned 33. So she said that she got the diagnosis about a month after her 33rd birthday. She's the one that normally, like, when we have, like, just the various news channels up, whatever, she's around this time. She's the one that's up there on WFAA doing the weather and stuff like this. But this is the kind of thing where it's like she looks completely healthy on the surface. She looks like you wouldn't think there'd be a single problem with her, and now it's like she's fighting.
Are we ever going to solve cancer?
I mean, do you buy the conspiracy that they already have a cure? They're just hiding it to make more money? I mean, that's...
I used to not buy it, but I don't know. How much money has been poured in and how much more is it going to take?
Yeah.
Kristen...
It sucks, man.
Kristen always says... The line that she got convinced by years ago was, there's no money in cures. And so she's like, nope. She's like... And so I don't think they have a cure. But I mean, like... Because I would imagine if they had a cure, they would just start... charging through the nose for you to get it. And so I would just think that would be what it is. But that's awful news. So thoughts and prayers with WFAA meteorologist Marielle Ruiz as she goes through that. Gateway Church.
What I would say to her and others, having gone through leukemia stuff myself, there have been, even though not a cure, amazing advancements.
Sure.
Amazing advancements with much greater hope to solve things.
Yeah, and she says that, you know, she's got... Doctors have a really good treatment plan. They're positive right now, but it is, I mean, it's one that is considered one of the more aggressive forms of breast cancer. Over at CBS, they cover the news of Gateway Church, which we had talked about. They had gotten in trouble when their pastor, their founder, Robert Morris, had gotten in trouble when a decades-old story about him, allegations of him, basically sexual misconduct, sexual abuse with a teenager had come out. And he ended up leaving, he's not preaching anymore. I think he's still technically part of the church on staff. But now with their decline in attendance and all the bad publicity that they've had, Gateway Church is announcing that they are cutting services amid their decreased attendance and challenges. Have you ever driven by Gateway over in Southlake?
Massive. You've
probably driven by it and had no idea it was a church.
Right.
It's huge. It's a campus. I don't like any church that needs cops to... get you out in and out of church.
Dude,
if you require police escorts to get people in and out, I'm like, all right, that's just too damn big.
Dude, when you're driving down there on a Sunday, if you're driving on South, like you're going on 114, it's exactly right. They have traffic cones. They're basically having to direct traffic onto the highway because there's just so many people there. Like, I'm trying to see if I can get a picture up and show you what this looks like, because it is just, it's absolutely massive. And they had all this money flowing in there. And it was something, and that's like one part of the campus. There's another building behind it. But they had all this money flowing in there and kept expanding, kept growing. They were one of the largest churches in the country. And now they've seen decreased attendance. They're having to cut back service times because of this story involving Robert Morris and the abuse allegations. It is getting hotter. We are in summer. So this is the time of year where we get reminded consistently, hey, remember to look in your back seat when you're riding around with kids. Texas authorities are having to remind people of this again after in the last 4 days, there have been 3 deaths of Texas children left in cars. I don't ever want to judge forgetfulness. Parents get overwhelmed all the time, but like, I've just never understood you forgot somebody in the car, like completely. You just got out of the car and forgot somebody that was sitting back there. I've never understood it.
I forget things all the time. I don't forget my kids generally. But like, this is awful. Like, and you know, there's enough, I guess, plausible deniability is not the word, but like, there's enough, like, where you could say, oh, I forgot. And it's a way for mischievous things to happen.
Maybe
with this.
People are high.
I was going to say, I don't think it's malicious, but I do think it's so negligent and inexcusable.
It's exactly.
Well, we'll cross my mind. I haven't done it. Therefore, I'm admitting to the darker thought. Do you ever wonder to yourself, okay, can I go in this place and get away with leaving them in here for like 30 seconds. Like tomorrow, I'm going to have to go pick up ice or Saturday.
Ice is usually picking up you.
Could I go leave my kids in there? And I'm not going to do it, but I think of it. Yeah. Like, could I go run in there and get the ice versus get them both out, carry one, have them follow me back out? It's, the ice thing is right outside. I got to do is go inside to pay. I got to go inside, give them the 20 for the gas. Could I leave them in the car for that moment? Could I leave them at home if I go out to the mailbox? I'm not talking about at the end. My stupid neighborhood put it by our, like, entry. So I got to get in my car to go get the mail.
Could I
leave them here by themselves to go get the mail? I haven't done it, but yeah. I think about it.
I suppose, like, if you leave the car running, obviously it's different. Yeah, you know.
Still, I'm just talking about theft.
See, so that's my concern. It's not they're going to get overheated in 30 seconds. It's, I think somebody's in. Somebody may just walk over, open the car door, break in, and then they're driving off. That's,
yep.
If I do that one time, I know that's what would
happen. My dad yelled at me twice. His Tesla was running low. Never been, driving a Tesla. I'm tired of hearing about the bitching. I'm going to go fix this myself. I woke up at 5:30 in the morning, found a Tesla supercharger station, sat there for 45 minutes of my time figuring out how to drive this car, how to charge it. I had no idea. I'd never sit there and done it before. I get back home. He goes, "You left the front door unlocked." No thank you. No gratitude. Your daughter. I said, "So what?" He goes, "Your daughter's in the other room. You want someone to just come in here and take her?" I said, "Amanda's sleeping in the room. She's in there. Doesn't matter. The front door unlocked at the house, or not the alarm on. We're putting her pack and play downstairs. We're upstairs." "No, you can't. You can't have her downstairs." I'm like, good gosh. I thought I worried. No, nothing.
And he's always been a worrywart, hasn't he?
But I married into a family of worriers. At my parents' OC place, we put Ava in the room that was like closest to the hallway of the apartment. My father-in-law, she can't sleep in there. Someone opened the window. I'm like, "Rudy, it's so rusted over 40 years. No one could get that open. You have to shatter the window." "Nope, got to move her to another room."
Oh my God.
Who's psychos.
Who is the baby, the Lindbergh baby? Like, your father-in-law just thinks Lindbergh babies are getting snatched out of cribs everywhere. Last one really quickly. Dallas Perot Museum. Nice, awesome partners of ours.
Very
over
nice.
There. Gavin Spittle yesterday when he was talking to the girls, he's like, "Hey, have you guys been there?" They love it. It's great. Luckily, they weren't there last night or a couple nights ago when, I guess this guy's never seen Night at the Museum. 34-year-old Jimmy Frost was caught running around inside the Perot Museum after hours when no one was there. Police showed up. They arrested him. They escorted him out. They're not sure how he got in there yet, but he was in there with no shirt, just running around the Perot Museum at night by himself.
No shirt?
No shirt, just like Chop.
Jimmy Frost?
Jimmy Frost.
Jimmy Frost. I got to tell you, starting to get a little chilly.
Uh-oh.
Starting to get a little chilly here.
Who needs a bottle opened? There we go. The Neighborhood Watch with Roberto. Congrats to the NBA Youngboy ticket giveaway winner. Another one in the 9 o'clock hour before you officially start your holiday weekend with Sean and RJ. RJ Choppy is putting the 3-time GM of the year on official notice after the Stars press conference yesterday. That's next.